blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. For our meditation today, we consider that scripture which the Holy Spirit caused Luke to write concerning Jesus' interaction at the house of one of the Pharisees, Luke chapter 14. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." This is the word of God. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, humble our hearts to your gracious invitation as we hear your word today. Grant that we would so read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this precious news which you have spoken and worked for our salvation. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, the man in our text is suffering from a condition that Luke calls dropsy. Today, the medical term used is edema. It's a condition that is caused by the collection of fluid under the skin. This results in the swelling of your arms, your legs, your hands, your feet. The physician Luke is specific in his diagnosis. He uses a word which appears only once in all scripture. The diagnosis is hudrakakos, relating to a Greek word hudras, which means water. He's indicating this swelling that occurs from the buildup of fluid. In its more severe forms, dropsy can be a symptom of an underlying disease. As we consider how Jesus touched this man and granted physical healing, let us also consider how Jesus has touched you. Let us consider how we too have our own dropsy diagnosis. With a parable, Jesus endeavors to show the Pharisees that they've been puffed up, swelled up, self-inflated. Jesus endeavors to lead us to recognize the same. Like the Pharisees, our dropsy has showed itself in a swelled sense of ourselves. Above all, we pray that the Spirit would lead us today to the touch of Jesus, a touch which alone can heal this disease. The Sabbath dinner was likely held in an open courtyard of the Pharisee's house. This is why we can find a man approaching who is not really invited with this sickness, what they call dropsy. Literally, Jesus seizes the opportunity. He takes hold of the man and he heals him. This could be translated, he seizes him. He takes hold of him tightly. He touches him with his hand. Under the old covenant, God had set aside the seventh day of the week to be a day of rest. What they call the Sabbath, or rest day, was a day of worship, a day of meditation on the wonderful works of God. Jesus now performs a wonderful work. He touches a man who would be considered unclean by many of these Pharisees and heals him, cures him. And yet the Sabbath was to be a day in which no work was done. What would the Pharisees say of this work that Jesus performed? We find just a chapter earlier, these experts in the law accuse Jesus. Jesus has healed a woman in Luke 13 who had been suffering from some spinal disorder. She had been bent over, unable to stand up straight for 18 years. The ruler of the local synagogue accuses Jesus. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. For all their pious works and strict adherence to the law of Moses, they had missed what the Sabbath was all about. They never saw that even in resting, they were working. They were trying to earn something for themselves. The Sabbath represented rest from spiritual labor. It was to be a spiritual experience of the seventh day of creation, the day in which God rested. Only in God's saving work in Christ do we truly find that rest which was originally intended when God created us to love and serve him. Verse 5, which of you having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? To come to Jesus for his healing touch is to find true Sabbath. For all of us, our Sabbath is fulfilled right here in Jesus' presence where we're hearing his word, where our sins are forgiven, where peace with God is found once again, the seventh day of creation. So Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They simply could not answer Jesus' question. On the one hand, they would pull their oxen out of the pit on the Sabbath day, but on the other hand, they wouldn't lift a finger to help their brother or sister who is suffering or spiritual loss. They were diagnosed with spiritual dropsy. They interpreted the law in a way that could only serve themselves, only make themselves reach a higher status. They never saw that the law was not about serving yourself, it was about serving others. The law was about taking the lowest place and expecting nothing in return for what you're doing. The true fulfillment of the law is love. We too suffer. One of the causes or contributions to dropsy is that a person is sitting too long. So if you might find someone who has this condition in a wheelchair, they're only going to get worse without exercise. How often isn't this our diagnosis too? We find ourselves sitting too long in the same place, never moving. We find ourselves taking the place of honor, thinking we've earned an invitation to be the highest, to be first. And we watch others so closely, like the Pharisees were watching Jesus. Perhaps they're watching someone who has it all together, And we just can't stand it. They can't be that perfect. And so we try to find that one flaw that will bring them down. That one flaw that will bring us up. Or perhaps we're watching someone closely who does not have it all together. Perhaps we're watching the person who can't hold a job for more than a month, who's an alcoholic or a drug addict, who keeps ending up in jail. So we like to take the place of honor by thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm not as bad as that guy. Sure, I've got my problems, but at least I can hold a steady job. I can generally keep the commandments. My problems aren't as big as his. Perhaps we're watching those outside of our fellowship, only seeking to expose their mistakes. Perhaps we forget about the work of the Holy Spirit throughout all Christian churches. The invisible church, that God is accomplishing his goodwill in the hearts of those who hear his word. Perhaps we're in the seat of honor in our marriage, taking the best place, putting our own needs first, and forgetting about our spouse or our kids. Yes, we've been diagnosed like the Pharisees, spiritual dropsy. It swells in us, up in us, in our flesh, even now as we find ourselves making excuses. The law is not here to pat you on the back and tell you to move on up to the best spot. It's here to get you out of that seat. As Jesus says, give place to this man. We absolutely must give up that seat. Whether we like it or not, we haven't earned it. And the accusation is correct. But the Pharisees do not want to accept this accusation. They reject the diagnosis. What happens when a person refuses to seek medical care for such a diagnosis? Does it get any better? In the end, they will lose the seat of honor. Not because they repent, but because they're forced out eternally. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But we are not to that eternal end, dear Christians. God has led us to the proper diagnosis. If we didn't know the symptoms, we would not be aware of the greater disease that could be lurking underneath. That swelling of our pride is a result of the fact that we've been sitting too long in the same place. Jesus humbled us to take us to the back of the line, to the lowest seat. He gets us up off of our bum. Before we know it, we're in that last place. We know we're lost. We know we're ill. We know we're sick. We are the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And we're those who are touched. We're the swelled up man in the text who is touched by Jesus. We're seized. We're grasped. We're taken hold of. Because Jesus has come to that lowest place where you and I are, to take that lowest seat for us. He's been a substitute to earn what we could never earn for ourselves. Earlier in Luke chapter 5, Jesus began his ministry by saying, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus has reached into the pit and pulled you out. He has given you the true meaning of the Sabbath, rest. It is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. In fact, it's the true purpose of the Sabbath, to heal your ailments, to forgive your sins, to give you the highest place at God's feast. That touch of Jesus has reached out to say, friend, go up higher. His place of honor will be yours in eternity, all because of his work, his sacrifice, and his salvation. Jamie is a resident at Batavia Rehab, where we hold our nursing home services. Jamie has Lou Gehrig's disease. And if you're familiar with this, you'll know it's a painful disease. It's a gradual degeneration of the nervous system, cells breaking down in your brain and in your spinal cord. Gradually, these nerve cells die until the person loses the ability to move, to eat, to speak, and eventually even to breathe. The nurses will bring Jamie out into the area where we have our worship services, and there he'll be. He can't hold a program, he can't sing a hymn, he can't even say amen. The most he can do is groan or yell from time to time. There's no way to tell if Jamie can hear, can understand, can process. He can't shake hands, and he definitely can't offer us anything in return for offering these services there. Yet I've noticed recently from time to time when we get to the end of our service, we sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And there I'll see Jamie with his hand up, letting out a series of groans. We can't say for sure, but what a wonder it is to think that in the midst of the disease that is ravaging his body, Jesus is still touching him. What a wonder to think that Jesus is reaching out through his word to lay hold of him, saying, "Friend, come up here." Because Jesus has come not just to touch us spiritually, he's also come to touch us physically and mentally. In the resurrection of the righteous, God will make us whole. He'll take away every ailment of mind, of body. His resurrected hands will touch that failing heart, that slipping mind, that feeble back, that sick child, that lost husband. And all who believe in Jesus will be exalted, perfectly restored. And Jamie, too, will be fully healed. What a wonder. And yet we just don't know. You've called me to go to those nursing home services, not because those people can offer us anything in return, but simply because this is who Jesus came to visit, to heal. Who is that person in your life who's been struck with a tragedy? Who's been discovered or diagnosed with some great illness? Who is it in your life that's spiritually diseased? Who are the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind that come across your path? Where you now have a chance to pull them out of the pit and invite them to the marriage feast of the Lamb. And you shall be repaid in the resurrection of the just. Amen.